Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and today's conversation is with Rear Admiral Patrick Stillman, Program Executive Officer of the U.S. Coast Guard's Deepwater Program. And joining us in our conversation is another PwC partner, Dave Abel. Well, Pat, the Deepwater Program is a two-decade-long initiative. I think you've even mentioned 30 to 40 years. And I have a sense you're not going to be around for all of it based on how you described your career. So I'm wondering if you could tell us where you are today and what the goals are for the next couple of years.
Generally speaking, we're evaluating the industry proposals, and we look for an award in the third quarter of the present fiscal year 02. The source selection teams are evaluating some key areas. One is the system's ability to attend to the operational effectiveness of the Coast Guard. They're also evaluating the total ownership cost of the industry solution. So those key areas are being assessed, and we hope to announce an award during the latter part of the third quarter. Thereafter, you have the opportunity to join with the systems integrator, the prime, and develop that partnership that is essential to making this work long term. We will agree upon performance plans. We will agree on management plans. We will agree on the whole litany of issues tied to truly doing this together such that it's a workable and productive undertaking. So the hope is to absolutely hit the decks running, metaphorically, as a sailor would say. That is exciting in many respects. And, of course, it's humbling for me to think that, it may take up to 28 years to build out this entire system, depending on how much money we're appropriated every year. Sustainability is a key point of focus for this particular undertaking. And when you think about that, in terms of the longevity of the undertaking, you've got to absolutely integrate good habits that endure. And those habits, come as no surprise. It's going to be found in measuring performance constructively and embracing the private sector such that you absolutely share an avid desire to make improvements in that regard. So I'm optimistic about it. I think it's the right way to do business.
In one of our earlier segments, you mentioned one of the critical success factors for this program, for the Coast Guard overall, is the capability of the contractor's workforce and of your workforce as well. We've heard a lot about coming government retirement wave and the expected impact on federal agencies. What kind of challenges does this present to the Coast Guard, and what type of solutions are you considering as far as addressing the retirement wave?
Well, I think the challenge is absolutely inescapable, and I think Mr. Walker has articulated it very carefully. I think the human crisis in government is tied to human capital, and it's very much a concern of this program, as every other acquisition program in government. When you step back and reflect upon the fact that conceivably over 50% of your workforce may be leaving over the course of the next 5 years, obviously expertise and a cumin is a very valuable commodity. We're looking at new or innovative practices to keep the workforce intact, part-time employment options. I'm optimistic that working with a systems integrator long-term will in part compensate to a certain extent for the technical requirements tied to this undertaking. Unquestionably, I hope to author what I call a learning organization such that people will feel that this is a great place to work. And if you can manufacture and mold that environment, then attrition may not be a disabler. I think that absolutely that's a critical facet of this undertaking. You got to encourage an environment and provide people with the opportunity to embrace innovation and be satisfied.
Has that drive to embrace innovation and to attract new people, how is that going in relation to being able to bring in technology savvy folks, people? And you mentioned people being attracted to the contractor, but to the Coast Guard as well. And it seems to be a problem across a number of federal organizations and within Department of Defense as well.
That's a great observation and a good question. I mean, Paul Light's book, The True Size of Government. I mean, the reality is that contracting for technical services, in many respects, is a state of art today. And unquestionably, if you can't find the technical expertise in-house, you know, there are contractors that hopefully can provide that expertise. You know, that's just one facet of the undertaking. In the Coast Guard, we've stepped back and reconciled the fact that, honestly, we have to re-engineer our processes and structure tied to our workforce. We call it Future Force 21, where we're really stepping back and absolutely taking our processes to parade rest, metaphorically, to find out if, in fact, we have to change the way we do business as far as the long-term requirements of the organization. I mean, for example, the military has always been hierarchical in its structure, and you know, you've never had lateral entry opportunities in the uniformed service. Perhaps you should consider that. Now, in certain specialties we do, for example, lawyers are afforded the opportunity to enter the service as lieutenants. Perhaps we need to expand those opportunities across technical rates. You could say that if you're going to partner with a systems integrator for an extensive period of time, perhaps you could arrange a program where individuals in the Coast Guard could actually go and work for the private sector for a period of time and then come back to the Coast Guard. You know, there's a number of, I think, best practices in that regard that you find in government as far as giving people the opportunity to truly test the water on the other side of the fence. I think those kinds of things are very much part and parcel of how we'll have to do business long term. I also think technology will help to a certain extent, and by that I mean in terms of troubleshooting electronic systems. In many respects, those systems are becoming mature enough where actually they'll do some troubleshooting for you and tell you exactly what the problem is. And when you begin to use open systems architecture and modularity, and you take you know, black box replacement concept, you're not going to, you know, be in there soldering. You're going to remove components and replace with like components. It perhaps makes for a little bit easier lift long term. But make no mistake about it, you know, the technical requirements tied to taking ships and aircraft to sea aren't getting any easier. They're far more complex.
Well, let me ask you to put your future hat on, and what do you see for the Coast Guard in the future over the next 10 years? What's your vision?
I think the vision is that we absolutely will continue to embrace innovation in transforming ourselves to serve the needs of the American maritime public. I don't think there's any question that post 9/11, the Homeland Security requirements as they are manifested in the maritime arena, will challenge the Coast Guard. Yet, that said, I think Alexander Hamilton had it right, and that the Coast Guard was aptly named over two centuries ago. Hamilton said that the people that attend to the business of the Coast Guard have to do so with prudence, with good temper, and with moderation. And those were the values that he ascribed to the individuals who chose to wear the uniform. Today, you know, we say that our core values are duty, honor, and respect, and respect for everyone that works internal to the organization as well as the stakeholder who receives our services. So we will integrate technology to the maximum extent possible. I think we will be avid in attempting to find ways to do business better. I don't envision that you know, we're going to be growing leaps and bounds, notwithstanding the fact that the Homeland Security requirements of the nation obviously are going to manifest a more active Coast Guard in many circles. I think that it's safe to say that this deep water enterprise is absolutely fundamental to that, as far as giving people the assets and the common operating pictures and data necessary to make good decisions. So it will be a Coast Guard that frankly continues to be multi-mission, that probably works even to a greater degree with the Navy as far as Homeland Security issues, as well as the interagency. You know, I do think that obviously Customs, Border Patrol, INS, the Coast Guard, DOD, FBI, the whole litany of interagency contributors truly have an opportunity to step up to the plate here.
And my last question is, what advice would you give to a young person who's interested in joining the Coast Guard?
Well, I'd say do it. I would say absolutely do it, because you get to embrace the world's greatest teacher, and that is the sea. And I'll tell you why I say that. The sea is the good Lord's most magnificent gift. It's a metaphor fit for every occasion. It is, you know, soulless, and it's a thief. And by that I mean it can be as comforting and as placid and as beautiful as anyone could envision, and yet a few hours later it could be a thief that turns your courage to water. So you truly develop a profound sense of humility by embracing the good Lord's teacher out there. And I can't think of a better way for any individual to mold their sense of character and their aspirations. For me, you know, I stuck with it longer than I originally envisioned, but hey, 4 years, however many years, I think it's a great way to embrace the fruits of life.
Well, I'm afraid we're out of time. Dave and I want to thank you for spending this time
You're
with
welcome.
Us. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Rear Admiral Patrick Stillman, Program Executive Officer of the U.S. Coast Guard's Deepwater Program. Be sure and visit us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. There you can find out more about our programs and research. You can also get a transcript of today's very interesting conversation. Once again, that's endowment.pwcglobal.com. This is Paul Lawrence. See you next week.